Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go now?
We're ready. Sure, it's scary. But if you know how to do it biblically, yeah, it's scary, but at least you'll be in control. It never stops being scary, does it, Ray?
It gets scarier and scarier, but you learn to control your fears, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and it also helps if you know that, hey, I'm not going to get hit by something that takes me so out of my comfort zone, for the pun, that I'll just freak out.
Well, think yourself as a soldier in war. You've got really good armor on. It's been given to you by God. You've got good weapons, and it's scary because there's rockets going over your head, but you've got great weapons, and that gives you courage.
And the weapons that we use are?
Well, what Spurgeon called our greatest auxiliary, that's our most powerful weapon, is the 10 cannons of God's law. Can you imagine being in battle standing behind 10 huge cannons? All you got to do is light them. And that gives you courage.
And the cannons we are going to use right now. Let's go find Josh somewhere. Hey, Josh.
Yeah, g'day, Todd. G'day, Ray. How you guys going?
Good. Doing great.
You're doing good, Ray. I can test you on that if you really want to.
Hey, yeah.
Well, guys, I'm out here on the Gold Coast, and I actually have a man with me named Stuart. Now, Stuart's an ex-Anglican, and he thinks that, you know, religion's a bit hypocritical, you know. It's hypocritical on itself. So he was Anglican because that was the thing to do. You know, you went to church every Sunday and whatnot, so that's what he was by definition.
You know, I don't blame him for the hypocrites part. That blasphemes the name of the Lord. When people see people who call themselves Christians but don't act like it, they blaspheme God's name because we're supposed to be acting like him and we don't. And I can't blame the guy for not being happy with hypocrites. All right, so let's have a chat with Stuart, the ex-Anglican who's not nuts about hypocrites, if he'd be kind enough to pass the phone. All righty, here we go.
G'day, Ryan Todd.
Hey, Stuart, how you doing? Thank you for coming on the program. Appreciate you being a good sport and doing this with us.
Yeah, good, mate, good.
So, you don't like religion?
I wouldn't say I don't like it.
You know, there's...
I'm sure you've got a great point to that. I guess my main point that I was trying to get to through... I don't know if hypocrisy is the right word to use, but I guess you guys are Christian-based from what I gathered.
Yeah, and there is a big difference between religion
so basically,
and...
basically, what I guess I would be saying to you is... you believe very strongly in your belief as a Christian and Jesus died on the cross for your sins and yada, yada, yada. But then, so do millions of other people have that same belief. And so do millions of other people that are Hindus and people that are Buddhists and people that follow any other type of religion believe just as strongly as you do.
So I've got some questions for you.
My point being is you've got a bunch of people that believe strongly in one belief and you're not going to change their beliefs. And they all claim to be the one answer, the right way.
Yeah.
So not everyone can be right, can they?
Oh, that is a huge good point. Yeah, someone's got to be right.
Yeah.
So
ultimately, at the end of the day, all we're following is a power greater than ourselves. Something that I think would be very arrogant to be able to say this is what it is.
Well, yes and
going off a book that was written 2,000 years ago that's been translated
Let me just follow that reasoning. If I had a compass and it pointed to the north, and you said the north is in a different direction, and someone else says it's another different direction. Am I arrogant to say, no, north is over there, the compass says it so, and so we know exactly where north is, because the sun rises in the east, so north is over here. So it's not arrogant to say north is over there, because that's the truth, and other people can be wrong, well, that's their point, but it's not arrogant, it's just speaking the truth, and that's the point of Christianity.
We're talking about a compass there that you can actually you can actually work it out through mathematics. What I'm saying is there a God? People are saying, well, is it a God? Is it a power greater than ourselves? Is it a universal mind thing? Is it just a law of attraction? Is it something we don't comprehend because we don't understand it, nor we choose to do then to label it as God?
Mm. So you have those
That's
thoughts.
It's very interesting how it all works in, and unfortunately, religion is one of those things where you can keep talking and talking and talking about it and keep coming up with different angles.
I got an idea. Listen to this.
Point of view. Yep.
Let me do the talking and you do the listening, and then you can do the talking and I'll do the listening. So I want to ask you some questions, okay?
Yep.
Now, Stuart, some of these questions may make you get sweaty palms, but just wipe them against your shirt and carry on, okay?
Okay, mate.
You think you're a good person?
Oh, Yeah, I'm a bad.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
Just a person.
Yeah, but what's the right term? What would you call me if I told a lie?
A person. Like, you know, we're not perfect, so everyone's going to tell a lie.
Yeah, but
some
what
might, some might not.
I'll give you a clue. It starts with L, and it's got four letters, and it rhymes
a
with...
A liar.
Yeah. Now, have you ever stolen something in your life?
Have I ever what?
Stolen something.
Have I ever stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably when I was a kid, yeah.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's sight. It's using his name as a cuss word. Now, one question to go. Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
About 10 times today already.
Okay, Stuart, listen to this. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day whether you believe in him or not. And here's the big if.
According to your belief.
Yeah, I said if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Will I be guilty? Oh, I'll be guilty of sin.
Guilty of sin. And the
for
next question is, would you therefore, if he judged you by that standard and you'd be guilty, would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, it depends if I believe in it or not.
Doesn't make any difference whether a criminal believes in the judge or not. If he stands there and he's guilty, that his beliefs are irrelevant. If God judged you by
Okay, well, going off your belief in your theory, I would go then to hell.
Okay, now does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell forever?
Not really, because I don't believe in it. It's just not part of my ethos. I grew up in the Anglican Church. I was a server, a layboy, is what they're called. I know exactly what the Christian Church is about. And I guess I asked too many questions that couldn't be answered.
Okay. Now, let's just follow
your
reasoning,
like,
Stuart.
I mean, ultimately, you're saying all these things, but that's only because that's what applies to you. That's
Stuart?
What your belief is.
Stuart, I'd like to just follow what you said.
Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated?
Oh, yeah, I've broken all those commandments in spirit, if not in letter. I'm as guilty as sin. Let me just follow your reasoning because it's very interesting. Think of a criminal. He's standing in front of a judge. He's raped and killed four women, and he admits it. He's guilty. And the judge says, I'm sentencing you to the electric chair. And this is his reaction. Judge, I don't believe in the electric chair. The judge is going to say, take him away. I mean, what sort of criminal would be so mindless as to think that because he doesn't believe in the electric chair that it's going to disappear? And we're the same when it comes
you're talking about
justice
something that's tangible on this earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. What ultimately you're talking about is a spiritual concept.
Nope.
That according to more than half the world's population is a fallacy.
Nope. No, I'm not. I'm
not
talking about something.
Not everyone believes in in Jesus the way that you believe in it.
That's right.
Or God or a higher power in the way you believe in it.
We're trying to change that, Stuart. We're trying to let people realize that they don't have to go to hell. There is a way for them to be forgiven. Now, you were brought up in the Anglican Church.
I'll ask you a question then.
Yeah.
Why would for starters, how did Lucifer become jealous of God?
I have no idea.
Well, how could he become jealous of God in a perfect place of heaven?
I have no idea.
Exactly. So how can jealousy exist in a perfect place?
But hang on a minute. I can't understand.
Why would God create an entire race of people and
Stuart.
Then send them to hell knowing full well that they're going to sin unless he believes in his way of thinking?
Stuart, you're asking some great questions. You're asking some great questions. Let me answer them one by one. There are certain things I can't answer, okay? There are a lot of things I can't answer. But one thing I do know is that God doesn't want you to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's by your own choice. You're choosing justice rather than mercy. So God didn't create a whole entire race to go to hell. He made a way for you to be forgiven. Do you remember the yada, yada, yada that you said of when Jesus died on the cross?
Yep.
You think lightly of the fact that God became a person, suffered on the cross so you could be forgiven. That's what you should have learned as an Anglican. But you were never confronted by the law.
I totally understand that. But that's like a car manufacturer, right, saying, look, you buy this car, it's going to run great as long as you get it serviced with us. If you go anywhere else, it's going to break down. Unfortunately, you've got to go by our rules and buy our stuff to get your car serviced.
Stuart, it sounds fine.
I think a higher power, a concept of a higher power is a lot more stronger and open than what we actually think.
Stuart, let me just address that question. The higher power is called idolatry, when you make a god to suit yourself. I did it before I was a Christian. Well, remember the second commandment says you shall not make yourself a graven image. What we tend to do as human beings is create a God we feel comfortable with, whether it be a higher power, whether it be a God of love, a God of mercy. We create a God we feel comfortable with, and it's called idolatry. And idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's one God.
For sure.
He's perfect and holy and righteous. And by the way, your analogy was good. If a car manufacturer says, come back to us, we'll look after your car. Well, if you buy it from them, go back and let them service it. Look at the news tonight. We're in a mess because we won't go to God. Every area humanity puts its hand to, it makes a mess of because we've refused God's lordship. Repent and yield yourself to
Him. I completely agree with a lot of stuff that you say, but unfortunately you're just going back on your own beliefs, and so you just analyze everything with your own beliefs. So of course it's always going to come back to God. You don't have the, I guess, open-mindedness to look outside the square, outside the box.
I've been outside the box. So I was like you for 22 years, and I found the truth in Christ. So soften your heart, Stuart. Put aside prejudice and just realize there's a difference between religion and Christianity. Open the Bible, the world's most popular book, the greatest seller of all time, and read it with an open heart. And because there's nothing more important.
I think you've got a very, very biased view of the entire thing, mate.
Well, you can't help it when you know the truth. I know where North is. Hey, Stuart, thank you so much for talking to us.
Hey, thank you.
Back with more. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. And let me be the first, or at least, you know, the first 400. Happy New Year to you from all of us here at Wretched. I have come up with a dazzling conclusion. New Year's and Thanksgiving are a lot alike. No, honest. There are parades, there's food, and then there's football. The only difference being one has NFL football and one has college football. See, this is what happens when you have too much time on your hands. Speaking of time on your hands, as things start to settle down back into a normal routine, would you, could you, might you prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel partner? We are looking forward to reaching more and more people with the gospel, and to do that, we truly need your financial support. So go to wretched.org/donate and get all the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. You know, the folks who keep the lights on and let the radio and TV shows happen and all the great resources. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. Philemon was a Christian and fellow worker with Paul. His slave, named Onesimus, had stolen from him and run away. By God's providence, Onesimus met Paul and became a Christian. Paul sent Onesimus back with this letter, urging Philemon to forgive Onesimus and treat him as a brother in Christ. This letter is a grand example of the gospel in action.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go fishing right now. Let's check in with York and find out where he is. Hey, dude.
How you doing, Todd?
Great. Where are you,
mate? We're in Sydney, Australia, in Manly, which is close to the beachfront, and we're in a portion called the Manly Corso, which is a sort of a paved area, and there's lots of people milling around and, you know, people with prams and kids running around, and we've actually lined up Richard, who's one of Ray's fellow countrymen. He's a Kiwi, and he's visiting on a short vacation to attend a wedding, and he's 34 years old, and yeah, he's willing to have a go on the radio.
Oh, this should be just...
Just before we go on, Richard, I mean, York, are you South African?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we got the Kiwi talking to the Kiwi with the South African in Sydney. Got it. I'm following along just fine. All right, York, very good. Let's give it a go. Pass the telephone to Richard, and we'll let Ray have at it.
Okay, hold on a sec.
All right.
No, don't be harsh on it.
Okay.
Okay,
where are you going?
Yeah, where
are
you going?
How's it going,
Ray? Good. Richard, how you doing?
Oh, I'm very good, thank you. Beautiful day. It's nice to have come over for a good bit of sunshine.
Where are you from?
Masterton. It's close, about an hour away from Wellington.
Oh, Masterton. So. Yeah, I know where that is. That's great. And what are you doing in Australia?
Oh, we've got a wedding on this weekend, so we thought we'd pop over for a few days and help celebrate the big day.
Well, that's great. So, tell me, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Do you think there's an afterlife? What do you think happens when someone dies?
Oh, definitely. I'm a Catholic, born and bred, so yes, I definitely believe there is a heaven to go to, as long as you behave yourself.
Are you behaving yourself?
I am at the moment.
How do you know someone's behaving themselves?
I'm not too sure.
How do you know someone's behaving themselves? What rules do you go by? I mean, someone might say, I behave myself, I hardly stolen a thing this week, I've only told a few lies. You know, what's the criteria?
Generally, be good to those around you and expect them to be good back to you. That's basically how we live our life. And, helping out as many people as we can along the way. We don't have any kids, just my wife and I, and one small farmlet. We've got our sheep and bits and pieces, but...
Hey, you're making me jealous. I'd love to be on a farm with some sheep. I saw a flock of 3,000 sheep once, and I said to the shepherd, can I just run in the middle of them? So I ran right in the middle, and they just parted like the Red Sea. It gave me a feeling of, I don't know what, but it was a great feeling. Hey, so you believe in a place called heaven, and you think you get there by being good?
Oh, definitely. But you've got to work at it. I don't believe it's an easy path to take. It's always easy to take the bad road because you don't have to go by any rules, pretty much.
Okay, well, let me ask you some questions, Richard. This will help you. This helped me more than anything else in life, is understanding this point that we're going to go through over the next few minutes. You think you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to put you through a test. It's going to make you sweat a little bit. Your palms will go a little sweaty and your heart might palpitate, but stay with me, because what we're trying to do is give you a diagnosis so we can give you a cure for a disease that I'm going to convince you you've got, okay?
Okay.
We're going to go through some of the commandments. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, so you've committed adultery in your heart as far as God's concerned. Have you ever stolen something in your life, even if it's small? Okay, I appreciate your honesty. What about this one, the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie in your life?
Yes.
We'll go to the third, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Oh, that's good. Okay, there's good news and bad news. The good news is you're like the rest of us. You're a sinner. The bad news is you can't make it to heaven, because on the day of judgment, God's going to judge you by those commandments, and by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, a lying, thieving adulterer at heart. So if he judges you by the 10 commandments on the day of judgment, and we've only looked at 4 of them, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Innocent, because as Catholics, we go to confession. We believe if we confess and we're truly sorry for doing that, and try very hard not to do it again, okay, it will be forgiven for a sin.
Okay, now would you bet your life on it that God's going to forgive you because you confess your sins? Are you that sure?
Yes, but we also believe in you need to go to purgatory first,
okay,
which we believe is worse than any your worst day on earth, and you could be there, we don't know how long, you might be there for what seems like an eternity before you enter heaven because you have to be perfect.
So bearing in mind, Richard,
to heaven once you die.
Bearing in mind that you have sinned against God by violating the commandments, do you think you'll really go to purgatory rather than to hell or heaven?
Yes.
Okay, now here's some important points, and this will just make you think a little bit. Imagine you're standing in a court of law, and you've committed rape and murder. You've raped a couple of young women and slit their throats. Okay, and you say, Judge, I'm guilty. I know these are very serious crimes, but I want you to know two things. Number one, I confess I committed the crime. And number two, I'm not going to do it again, okay? The judge isn't going to let you go on that basis. If he's a good judge, he's bound by the law to give you justice. He won't let any criminal go just because he confesses the crime and says he won't do it again. If someone has raped and murdered somebody, they must be punished. And so to confess your sins to a priest or even to God doesn't mean to say that he's going to forgive you according to the Bible. And saying you won't do it again doesn't mean he's going to forgive you because, of course, you shouldn't do it again. You've done wrong. So they are very important points.
No, even though Jesus himself forgave rapists and murderers himself.
Yeah, but there's a point that you're missing, and it's a very, very important point. And this is what it is. Firstly, I've got to tell you something. The Bible doesn't even hint of a place called purgatory. If you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you go to hell. The Bible makes that very clear. There's no kind of in-between place you go. So that's what God's word says. And the other point is this, Richard, and it's so important you understand this, is that if you try and get into heaven by being good, what you're trying to do is purchase or bribe the judge of the universe. And God won't be bribed. The scriptures say this, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. By me doing good things to try and merit God's favor is like a criminal trying to do good things for the judge so the judge will be kind to him. We can't merit or earn God's favor. The Bible makes that clear. But this is how you can be forgiven. And this will make sense in a moment. If you and I die in our sins, we go to hell. The Bible says because God is just and holy, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Makes it very clear. But the scriptures say even though God is just and holy, he is rich in mercy. And he provided a way where you and I could be forgiven. And it's not through confessing your sins. It's not through doing good works. It's through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered and died for your sin and my sin and for the sin of the world. And when he was on the cross, he was actually taking the punishment due to you and I. We deserve God's wrath, but that wrath fell upon Jesus, the perfect sinless Messiah, so God could forgive us. He paid the fine for the law that you and I broke, those Ten Commandments, so that God could dismiss our case. That's the gospel. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. Now, God can forgive you not because you repent, but because your faith is in Jesus, because you're trusting alone in him for your salvation. You're not trying to earn anything. The moment you repent and trust in Jesus, God will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. And then you live a good life, not trying to bribe God, but just out of gratitude to God for his forgiveness. Does that make sense to you?
It does, yes.
It's so important, Richard. Now, I wouldn't lie to you. This is the gospel truth. I've said some things that are really harsh, but I only say them to you because I care about you. And think how a doctor would be with a patient who came to him and says, hey, doctor, I know I've got a disease, but I can fix it myself. And the doctor knows it's a terminal disease, and there's only one cure, and the doctor has the cure. So what's he going to do with the patient?
Yep.
He's going to point out the disease and show him the symptoms. And once he says, boy, I've got no hope, then the doctor says, well, here is the only cure. And he gives the cure to the patient. And that's what I've tried to do with you today. I've said, hey, you can't save yourself. We've got a disease called sin. The only thing that can save you is the grace of God. That is the cure. And when you repent and trust the Savior, God will forgive your sins and grant everlasting life. Todd, would you like to speak to Richard?
Hey, Richard, how do you do?
Good, very good, thank you. Yourself?
Okay, let's pretend that that fellow isn't listening right now. Just between you and me, what did you think of what he said?
It makes good sense, it does. And, yeah, I agree with it.
Okay. You know, we can do is ask you to think about it and ask you to respond to it. You know, because you can think about it, and it kind of goes in one ear, and then it goes out the other, and it's not going to do you any good. So if you believe it's true that there's going to be a day when you're going to be judged, oh, we hope you'll consider the claims of the gospel. Okay, Richard?
Definitely.
Hey, thank you very much for being willing to talk to us on the radio. We sure do appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope all goes well.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, sir.
Okay, goodbye.
Now, Ray, I am quite certain that somebody's listening to this here program, and they're going, ah, you should have talked to him, and you should have said a prayer with him. Why
closed
didn't you
the, close
do that?
The deal?
Close the deal.
He wasn't ready. Number one, if he had said to me, "What should I do to be saved?" You know, well, he's ready for repentance. But he was a little laid back, and I'd like him to have a little more sense of urgency.
All right, and so don't worry about that person. If you trust that God is sovereign and He's holy and He's just, if Richard is being crushed underneath the burden of his sins, don't you worry. God will find him out. God will make sure that he knows what to do, which is to repent and put his trust in the Savior, and God will lead him to salvation. And so your job, dear Christian friend, is not to convert, not to close the deal. We can't do that. But instead, to simply be faithful, preaching the law to bring about the knowledge of sin, then the gospel, and leaving the results to God. And the good news is, when the day is all done, and you put your head on your pillow, you don't have to sit there biting your knuckle and fretting. You trust God because you've been faithful in preaching, and He'll do the converting.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1854. Charles Haddon Spurgeon becomes pastor in London and will go on to become one of the most influential pastors ever. He was the central figure in defending the gospel against compromise during the downgrade controversy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish decided to go fishing in Texas. And she's at a Roman Catholic church with a priest. Ready to go, Ray?
This is so exciting, Todd.
How come?
Well, talking to a Catholic priest, I want to know what he believes and how to get to heaven.
Yeah, this isn't, in case you're Catholic and you're thinking, oh, these guys are just drubbing on the Catholics. No, well, it just happens to be this way. So let's see what this particular fellow believes, because all I did was quote Avery Cardinal Dulles, who, as best I can tell, is promoting universalism. We'll discover what this fellow believes and maybe how he preaches the gospel. Oh, Trish!
Hi, Todd. Hi, Ray.
Well, hey, you Trish. Are just a busy little
surprise.
Bee. Yes, yes.
You know, I might not have this all in order, but I want to run down for you real quick what Father Jim McGee, yeah, his background and things. So he grew up in the Methodist church and was a Methodist priest for about 7 years. So minister would be the word.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to the Episcopal church and became an Episcopal priest, and he was in that for about 20 years, correct? And then now the Catholic church, where he's a priest, kind of retired, but he still does all the duties, you know, funerals, weddings, does preaching and things. He says anything that any clergyman does, he does, and that's since 1992. And this is something that I thought was kind of rare because, you know, most Catholic churches, the priests are not married. But I'm sitting in the conference room with Father Jim McGee and his lovely wife.
Ray, I got to tell you, I'm encouraged. Here's why.
Yes.
From Methodist to Episcopal to Catholic, why not one more jump? Why not one more? Come on over, pal. All right, let's give it a go, Trish.
Okay, Father Jim, you're live on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you coming on the air with us.
Ray, you're very welcome.
My name's Ray, and it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you.
Jim, could you tell me, why did you become a priest?
Well, I was beginning to tell Trish a little about it. In my Methodist days, which were excellent, and I loved the Methodist Church and have no complaint at all about the way I was nourished and brought up in the Christian faith. But there was something still missing and lacking. And along the way in my studies at Emory University, several of us were in a prayer group and study group and discussion group, meeting with an Episcopal priest and a couple of professors. And we were drawn towards liturgical worship, towards a sacramental church, and back towards the church going further back in history.
Right. So in the Methodist Church, Jim, were you born again when you're in the Methodist Church?
Of course.
So how come?
Of course, you're born again as a Catholic.
Oh, so you were born again, God came into you, transformed your life, your sins were forgiven, your name was written in heaven?
Of course.
Okay, so how come something was lacking when it comes to that? I mean...
It goes back to the upper room and the Last Supper where Jesus, at the Passover meal, instituted the Eucharist, set aside the apostles as the foundation of the church, and prayed to his Father that that all of them would remain one as he and the Father were one. And when I looked at historical evidence, I discovered that in the Methodist Church, we had split from the Anglican Communion. In the Anglican Communion, I discovered that we had split in the 16th century from Rome. And I could find no biblical or historical or traditional evidence that that we had the authority to split and form a church.
Do you know why there was a split with Rome?
A lack of charity is the underlying cause.
It was? It wasn't justification by faith in a...
No, I don't think so. I think that was an after the fact reason that comes. But a lack of charity is prior.
Okay, Jim, so it sounds like you give credence to Scripture, that it's God's Word. Is that correct?
It's God's Word written. It's His love letter to us.
Okay, so you believe that Jesus is the only way to God, and if someone's not born again, they can't enter heaven. If they die in their sins, they go to hell.
Of course. And what do you mean by being born again? Do you mean baptism?
No, absolutely not.
We do.
Oh, okay, so you believe that's when a baby's baptized, he's born again.
That's the second birth, and it parallels the first birth, which is biological, from the mother's womb, and Scripture supports that.
Oh, that's all making sense now. Okay, it's making sense.
By water and the Spirit.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, when I talk of being born again, I mean you repent and you trust alone in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. That's when the Holy Spirit enters you and you become a new person. God gives you righteousness. He justifies you. You find peace with God through the blood of the cross, and your name is written in heaven. That's the difference.
We believe all of that happens within the context of the sacramental life that Jesus gave to his church when he established the church.
Okay.
And gave a way for her to be protected and grow. And to grow up to become full grown up human beings, what we would call saints.
Okay, so are you a saint?
We will be.
You will be. So you're not now.
We will be because there is no sin in heaven.
Okay.
So you have to be fully completed in your faith.
So what do I have to do to go to heaven, Jim? If I was dying, I've got 3 minutes to live, and I said, Jim, someone shot me in the back. I can feel my life draining out of me. The doctor says I'm going to be dead in 3 minutes. I turn to you and say, how can I go to heaven? What would you tell me? I've got 3 minutes.
I would say, do you believe in Jesus Christ who gave his life for you, and do you repent and ask for the mercy of Jesus? And whatever remained to be done in you to make you prepared and ready to enter the kingdom of heaven would be in God's hands.
So you can't give me assurance that I'm going to enter heaven?
That's pretty good assurance right there.
So I can have assurance that if I repent and trust in Jesus alone, without doing any works, I can get into heaven?
Well, salvation is not by works.
Yeah,
salvation is by grace.
Through faith. So you can give me total assurance that the moment I repent, trust in Jesus...
I can't give it to you. God can give it to you.
Okay.
I don't have the capability of doing that for you. God does that.
Okay. Now, here's another question for you, Jim. I'm really interested.
But you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, nor can I, until all sin has been purged and cleansed from us, and God provides for that.
Through the cross. Okay. Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sometimes good and sometimes not so good. I'm a finite, limited human being growing in the grace of God.
So is your heart deceitfully wicked?
No.
It's not?
No.
Is it good?
No. I am a fallen creature in the process of being saved.
Okay, so if you got assurance the name is written in heaven, I'm trying to tie you down. Are you saved or not?
In Scripture, which is a love letter from God, the Catholic can say three things. He can say, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved.
Okay, now if someone's been baptized as a baby and they're a Catholic by name, but they've not repented and put their trust alone in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, are they going to heaven?
No.
So I'm going to hell.
Because you have to cooperate with the grace of God in knowing the faith, living in hope according to your will, and learning how to love the good by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a sanctification, growing up in the faith.
Paul, would you like to say something to Jim?
Hey, Jim, how do you do? I'm another guy here at the program.
Hi, how are you?
You know, I'm swell. Hey, are you familiar with a fellow named Avery Cardinal Dulles?
Yeah.
Terrific. I read a quote by him that basically said, if I understood him correctly, that pretty much everybody can go to heaven. Even an atheist can be saved if they worship God under some other name and place their lives at the service of truth and justice.
That is Catholic doctrine and has been from the early centuries of the church.
So
sure,
all the apostolic
fathers testified to that.
So an atheist, how does an atheist go to heaven, sir?
If a person, through no fault of his own, has never known the faith, never been introduced to the Christian faith, specifically and within history, through no fault of his own, or has encountered people who presented the gospel to him in a way that was rejecting and mean-spirited. If a person, based upon the first three chapters of Romans, where Paul talks about natural law written in the heart of every person, and points out that the Gentiles, the other nations, listened to this law in their hearts and saw and made more progress than even the Jew, who had been given all the promises. And the patriarchs and the scriptures and everything else, based upon the natural law written in one's heart and one's life, if a person, in responding to that hunger and thirst for truth and beauty and goodness...
Romans 5 makes it so clear that without Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins, that propitiation can only be applied through his blood. I guess we disagree on that, sir, but you gave it great clarity, and we thank you very much for your time and for doing this, sir.
Let me complete my sentence.
I'm afraid, only because we have to end the program right now, which is probably a good time to do this. It's by grace through faith alone in Christ alone.
This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings, more like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple? It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Ray, I have a funny feeling. Trish went fishing, and she went to a Catholic church, and we talked to a priest. And, Ray, I had a funny feeling that this guy was practicing a great deal of self-control toward us.
You think he was?
I think he was getting ready to be really torqued.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think so. So let's check in with Trish. I think she's still at the Catholic Church. Hey, Trish.
Hi, guys.
The Father Jim that we just talked to.
Yes.
Yeah. How was he doing when all was said and done?
Wow. Todd, he was not happy at all. He was red. He was shaking. My cell phone was filled with sweat. And he pretty much said he was upset that they got into, you guys, got into justification and how one is justified. I didn't get to listen, but these were the things he said. And I just let him keep kind of venting. He basically said, you know those Protestants? He goes, you know, they believe in that whole Bible alone type thing. And I'm like, sola scriptura, right? Right, what about it? And he says, you know, no. He says, that's nowhere in the Bible. I'm like, oh! And then he said, you've got to be saved. In order to be saved, you need to be baptized. And then he mentioned about the cardinal, basically that people can be saved without naming the name of Jesus.
Yeah, he made that very clear. That name. Right, yep.
Yeah.
The anonymous Christian view. I'm a Christian. I just didn't know it. Yeah. I believe in Jesus. I've just never met him, nor have I repented and put my trust in him. It's really, he claims that that goes back to the early church. I would be fascinated to hear that, but I thought that was more of a modern invention than it was a historic. But nevertheless, he made it very clear what his position was, and I told him, we just disagree. We just flat out disagree. I don't hate you, sir. But I think you're completely wrong, and you think I'm wrong, and so we shake hands and we leave it at that. But I've got to tell you, there is no other doctrine that we should dive into and get settled that's more important than justification. That's it, Ray. You rightly asked him about what the Protestant Reformation was about.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say?
I can't remember.
It wasn't about justification.
That's right. It was about love.
Huh?
It was about love.
Oh, the love that was lost between Martin Luther and the Catholic Church.
It was love lost.
It sure was.
And Todd and Ray, here's the thing, is the wishy-washy terms. And that he, you know, just his wishy-washy terms, not solid biblical language. Yeah. I was standing in there after he got off the air, and it was like I couldn't get any solid biblical terms out of him.
Well, part of that, in fairness, I think that we just simply have, that we use the same words. They just have different meanings, supported by different verses, and so I think that's why that frustration that Protestants and Catholics feel when they talk is, well, we're all using sentences, but we've got different definitions for our words, and I think that's why it's so difficult to unravel those things, and that's why it's better if you're with somebody and you're concerned they're not saved, is to just go ahead and witness to them rather than getting it into an untying of a bunch of knots.
Yeah.
So the nice lady with you is whom?
Yes, yes, she's in her car waiting. She was praying inside the Catholic Church. My cameraman found her. She was the only person praying inside there. And she said, sure, I'll be on the air. So now she's in her car with her her child that she was picking up from school. She has a tradition of praying every day inside the church right before she picks her daughter up.
Wow.
And she is a stay-at-home mom. She's from New York, was a businesswoman in Manhattan, and moved to Texas. And relocated and now is a stay-at-home mom. She says she loves what she does.
What's
her
cool.
name is Veronica.
Veronica.
Good for Veronica. All righty, so let's give it a go.
You're live on the air. Hello?
Veronica, time has kind of gone. My name's Ray. Thanks for coming on the program, but I'm going to cut to the chase and ask you, do you want to go to heaven when you die?
Most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we all do, don't we? Are you going to heaven when you die? Do you have that assurance?
I don't think any of us really have any assurance of it, but I would like to hope that I will and hope that I can do whatever I can while I'm here on this earth to get there.
Well, Veronica, the Bible actually says that you can have absolute 100% total assurance that you're going to heaven. It makes it very, very clear, and I didn't know that until I was 22. I went to church. You go to church a lot. I went 3 times in 22 years, and I found it incredibly boring, but I used to pray every night. And I couldn't figure out why I was alive, why I was waiting around to die. I could have a good time while I was waiting around to die, but life didn't seem to make too much sense because of death. It was going to snatch everything from my hands. But I found out when I was 22 that God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear you can know that you're going to heaven. Do you want that assurance or you just want to stay in fear?
Well, actually, I don't live in fear.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that anyone can give that to me here. I think that it's something that I get from my hope and from my prayer and from the faith that I have.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and you can make the choice, okay?
Okay.
Would you like to hear what the Bible says?
Sure.
It makes it very clear that nobody is good enough to go to heaven. Not one person on the face of the earth meet the standard of God to get into heaven. Did you know that?
Yes, I know that.
All of us have sinned and violated his commandments.
Right, exactly.
Now, do you think you're a good person?
I know that I am.
Okay, now I'm going to show you that according to God, you're going to see things differently, according to God's word, okay? So I'm going to take you through some of the commandments to show you that the Bible is right when it gives a summation of what human nature is like. Let's look at the 7th commandment, which says, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked with lust in your life?
I don't think so.
You've always had pure eyes towards men? Never looked with sexual desire at a man in your whole life, even as a teenager?
No, I don't really know that. This is a radio station that you're asking these questions?
Yes, that's right. A second question is, have you ever told a lie in your life?
No, I don't. I'm not comfortable with this conversation anymore.
Well, we'll let you go, but I was just trying to tell you this is exactly what the Bible says. Hey, you can find everlasting life. Firstly, you have to be really honest with God and admit your sins, because you'll never repent unless you trust the Savior.
But I don't think that that's something that I'm going to do on a radio show. That would be something that I would do with God and with as a Catholic. That's why we have the sacrament of confession.
Okay, well, let's not do it on the radio.
That's how we talk about our sins.
Veronica, let's not do it on the radio, but let me explain. I only got 4 minutes to do this, but it's so important. Your salvation is so important. And let me just tell you what I found out. And then after 4 minutes, you can say that's stupid or you can say that's interesting. I found out that Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. I'd done that. I'd committed adultery in my heart many times as a normal red-blooded guy. I had lied in my life. And the Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. I'd stolen just little things, but I was a thief in God's eyes. Mm. If you've ever used God's name in vain, you've failed to give it honor due to it, that's called blasphemy. So just those 4 commandments, if you violated them, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. The Bible says if you hate someone, you commit murder in your heart. If you get angry without cause, you're in danger of judgment. Well, who of us hasn't broken those commandments? Every single one of us. I don't know anybody on the face of this earth that hasn't looked with lust or lied or stolen something, even if it's small. Almost every single person has violated those commandments. And the Bible says, God has set aside a day in which you'll judge the world in righteousness. You and I will stand before God, and every idle word we've spoken, we have to give an account thereof. That's what Jesus said. Every thought we've ever thought, God will judge us for. Remember, he considers hatred to be murder, lust to be adultery. That leaves us all guilty. And listen to what the Bible says about liars. No liar, no thief, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. Now, when we understand we've sinned, most of us think, well, boy, I better clean up my life. But we can't. We've already sinned. We can go to church. We can do good. But what we're trying to do is bribe the judge of the universe. Our conscience says you're guilty. So what we do is try and justify ourselves by doing good things. But God won't be bribed. He'll not pervert eternal justice. It's like a guilty criminal standing before a judge and saying, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to wash your car and here's $5. It's a gift to you. No, that's bribery. And God will not be bribed to forgive our sins. But the Bible says he sent his son to die on the cross to take the punishment for our sins. And when we repent and trust in Jesus alone for our salvation, God forgives our sins and grants us the gift of everlasting life. When you repent and trust in Jesus alone, you're born of the Spirit. God comes into your heart, into your life. He makes you righteous in his sight. He justifies you. He freely forgives your sins. It's like a criminal standing in front of a judge saying, Judge, I'm guilty. The judge says, well, I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to pay your fine. He writes the check and good hard-earned money, pays the fine, and he says, your case is dismissed. That's what God can do to you if you'll be honest about your sins, repent of them, and trust in Jesus alone for your forgiveness of sins. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's how I live my life. But wow. And honestly, you know, to ask me a question about the commandments and to say, you know, it's kind of putting me on the spot because this is a radio program, supposedly, that's what this is. And that's really not anybody's, you know, that's not something that I care to discuss with anybody except the person who I believe can forgive me for those sins, who is Jesus. And as a Catholic, we go to confession, we do that. And that's, you know, and I believe all of that stuff. I mean,
so
you're
trusting in Jesus alone for forgiveness of sins and
not in
a church? Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Veronica, please don't feel offended. We didn't want to embarrass you. We just want to find out what you believe, and if you're not sure you're going to heaven, we can tell you there's a way to get there for sure. It's through trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation.
Well, I already do that, and that's the reason I pray every day, and that's the reason I don't do things to make up for anything, because I know I can't make up for any of the things that I've done in my past or even the things that I'll do tomorrow. But I believe that. You go to that cross and you say, you know what, I'm really sorry, I screwed up, I messed up, and I'm sorry for it, and I'm going to just try to do better. And I think that's all he really wants from all of us.
That's great. Well, so time's gone. We've got to go. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Until next time, go serve your king.